Games are over. The talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Oh, what a day. What a day it's been in the Scottish Premiership and beyond. Goals, red cards, big controversies, high drama, good results depending who you support, terrible results depending who you support, and a busy day tomorrow, which includes a top of the table clash. So why not give us all your thoughts right now on 0141 951 1025 and put those points to Gordon Dalziel, Cammy Bell and Hugh Evans.
Yep, and there are plenty of talking points, but I think dazzling though the day has been, memorable though it has been, there is so much to talk about concerning tomorrow's games. Celtic's result and performance in Bologna was extraordinary. The bravery shown, the colossal spirit, as Martin O'Neill described it. And the other question, how much will the loss of Benny Beningame, Cammy Devlin and Lauren Shankland affect Hearts? It is the pivotal game of the season so far as the Premiership title is concerned, and I cannot wait.
But as you know, for as long as many of us can remember, this has been the place to get your post-match thoughts off your chest. The phones are lighting up. I always take it as a real compliment that when you come out of the game, you think, I need to let that lot know what has been going on today. Simon's a Kilmarnock fan. How bad are we talking, Simon?
Hi, guys. So having a better afternoon than me. I'm already on the train. We're almost at Rutherglen heading, so that tells you how bad that was. I'm always a proponent of never leave early, but as soon as I hit 3-0, that was it. It was it's really, really bad. I phoned when Neil McCann got the job and said I would be behind him. And, you know, we've obviously went for the cheap appointment because we're trying to cut back on money. Same thing with Stuart Kettlewell, but he's actually managed to actively make things worse. I'm not calling, obviously, for him to be sacked. We won't sack him. That's just not going to happen. We couldn't afford to do that. But it's actively worse than it was under Stuart Kettlewell, which is some statement because it was pretty bad back then. So, yeah, it was the first half performance today. Actually, I think we were probably the better team until Motherwell scored. I think Motherwell were really lucky to take the lead. We kind of managed to nullify them pretty well, and it was pretty impressive. But as soon as that goal went in for us, that was offside, and by all accounts, it was offside. We just absolutely crumbled, and it's just us being the better team, and then it ended up managing to go in at half time 2-0 down and down to 10 men. That pretty much sums up our season.
Any mitigation from the red card for the team and for Neil McCann?
Foul looked a bit, obviously, the stand, so it's a bit far away. The first one looked really, really soft, but when you're already on a yellow, you can't make the foul that you made in the second one because it's going to be a second yellow all day long. So no, I don't feel that we were, you know, badly done by that. It was it was a bit like Hatate's one in the game. If you're on a yellow card, you can't do anything stupid, and he made a stupid tackle, so he deserved to go off. But it just kind of sums it.
Simon, you're 5 points behind St Mirren. You've played a game more than St Mirren. Are you resigned to it being the playoffs at best or automatic relegation at worst?
Yeah, when the half-time whistle, sorry, went and we looked at our phones and Livingston were in 2-1 at that point, it felt hopeless, to be honest with you. We thought, you know, everyone was going against us. Now, obviously, we managed to lose 4-0 today, and so
at Rutherglen Tunnel.
The train's got the better of
it.
Always loses its signal just by Rutherglen.
I'm going to guess he was saying we managed to lose 4-0 today and still ended up slightly better off in the league. Would that be right if Livy conceded six?
But I do think it's a Mirren 5 in front of Kilmarnock, played a game less. I do think Killy and Livy are just waiting to see who's out automatically and who's in the playoff.
Their only hope, Hugh, is St Mirren Dundee. Yeah. And the way Dundee are performing, they've got their act together. They'll pick up a lot of points. St Mirren, you would think, I know they went through a bad spell before the cup final and after the cup final. They've not been great. But they've got the squad there, they've got the manager. I think Kilmarnock are doomed. They're either in the playoffs. I would say the playoffs because I can't see Livingston doing anything.
We'll bid farewell to Simon and let him finish his train journey. Robert is another Killy fan. A lot of Killy fans phoning in already. Are you doomed, Robert, to the bottom two? Can you still... Because the points gap isn't... It's not massive, but you're not liking what you're seeing, are you?
Good evening, gentlemen. I hope you're all well today. No, we're down. We are 100% down. Even if we finish in second bottom, whoever we play in the championship will be us, without a shadow of a doubt. This season is gone. We are heading to the championship. I'm just off the forums there, talking to a few friends, and pretty much just across the board, everybody's like, aye, we're down. I don't know how we're going to get them back up, because there's no money. We made an £800,000 loss this year, and where's the money going to come for us to get us back up?
Why is today being viewed as so bad, Robert? I can't possibly put a positive spin on it, but if we were to try and cut your team a little bit of slack, pretty much everybody that goes to Fir Park these days is underdogs for the games, just the way things have shifted. Motherwell always keep clean sheets at home. Motherwell would have been expected to win, and you played more than half the game with 10 men. Is there none of that that makes you think, oh, I'll cut them, you know, even a little bit of slack?
Listen, I have to say, Motherwell were excellent. They really were. They were entirely efficient. They completely tore us apart. We did start off pretty well. We got a goal disallowed, but the frailty is always there. The third goal. Now I really hate picking on players, but Robbie Dees for the third goal, and he's been doing it all season long. He just needs to put any touch on the ball at all, and it takes it away from the player that scores the goal. And he misses. He's been doing this all season long, and I don't know how he's still getting in the game. I don't know how he's still pulling on a Shaquille shirt. This is ridiculous. But this set of players we have now, this is the set of players that Kettlewell signed. This is on his appointment. And that was due to Bowie appointing him. No one in Kelly wanted him. None of us at all wanted him. We were like, oh my God, can't believe he's getting him that job. But we all went, right, we'll back him, and look where we are. And we need 11 players, to be honest. We need a whole new team, because the 11 players out there, none of them are any good. None of them are actually trying. I mean, that wee guy that got sent off, do you know what? I even say, well, you know, well, son, well done, son. At least you actually showed a bit of passion. All right, you get sent off, fair enough. I mean, things like that happen. But there doesn't seem to be any fight. There seems to be no fight in the team at all. And it's frustrating for us fans, because, you know, you might see your team people getting into it, and too often we're pushed off the ball, we're brushed aside, and then the players just stand there, wave their arms and look, instead of shouting at other players. I mean, this is how you get relegated. I've seen this before when we did get relegated last time.
You can hear the club well. Listen to the passion and concern in Robert and Simon Beforum's voices.
Yeah, absolutely. You can hear the concern. And again, it's a club that's close to my heart. So again, as Robert said, they don't want the club to go down, because the last time I felt as if when they went down with Tommy Wright, they had to make the change, and they made the right decision at that time. There's nothing to say they'll make a right decision. They'll be able to bounce straight back up. So it's it's really worrying times. When you look at Kilmarnock, what they're doing at this moment in time is they're almost conceding two goals a game. They'll not win games of football doing that, so they need to change something. We spoke about the goalkeeping position's been a problem for them this season defensively. They've not been strong enough. They've got young Ethan Browns played today. Robbie Dees, which Roberts mentions, he's given him a little bit of criticism. I know has been coming in for some criticism. Something needs to change. They need to get results. They're really low in confidence. And yeah, the club's in a real sticky spot at the moment, because as I mentioned before, they're building this training ground. They're having to change, obviously, their pitch back to grass. There's a lot of investment in that, and they've cut back on the playing side. So it's really worrying times for my old club, and you can hear the concern in Robert's voice. Robert, how do you feel about Neil McCann being appointed as a manager?
I have to be honest, I wasn't overly keen, but to be honest with you, if you get Pep Guardiola in that dressing room, and it wouldn't make a blind bit of difference. The players are just not good enough. We've got a guy at 6'7", and they literally can't jump. How is it that nobody can the wing, that boy Thompson can throw a ball in quite well, and yet any time he does it, that big guy, he literally can't jump. He could seal the ball over every defender's head, and that big guy should be able to jump a foot, 2 foot into there and heed the ball towards the goal. Never does it.
more Kilmarnock fans are trying to get through in the phones. Robert's been on, Simon's been on, and still they must be really worried after today. Thanks to Robert, take joy from Robert's despair, but the passion that Robert's shown, you can hear it there. On the flip side of that, it was all your fault, Johnny. As a Motherwell fan, you must be in the opposite end of what those guys are feeling today.
I do feel for him. You can feel the hurt in his voice. You know,
You don't have to pretend, Johnny. This is football. It's fine. You're allowed to. dine out another team's misfortune.
It's an honest reaction to that. I can feel the hurt in his voice, to be honest. And do you know what? And the best thing for me, hello to you all on the panel and all that. But now I feel that now we are back on track to winning this league. I've been on here like saying it a lot of times, and now see that 40-point mark. Everything's going to go our way, like these next couple of games and all that. You know, like the so-called top teams, and that we are going to take over.
If Celtic win tomorrow, Motherwell would be 10 points off Hearts.
Yeah, it's not going. Look, I would love to Johnny come on here and say at the end of the season, "I told you so." It'd be brilliant. They're being absolutely great. Look, the confidence is there. 9 games without conceding a goal at Fir Park's incredible. The crowds are up. Football's great. They're playing brilliant football. They're scoring goals. They're just a little bit short of going and winning that title.
If Hearts win, or if Dundee get something at Ibrox, could you rule them out of just that next conversation, though? Would it be right to talk about a team that's 4 points off?
To summarise, if the conversation is, will Motherwell win the league, my answer is, not a chance.
I go with that, but I do believe that they're sitting in fourth, and the way they're going, I think they can finish better in fourth.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll win the league.
I think they'll finish above Celtic or Rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do as well.
Wow.
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but the form that they're in, they've beat the big teams. So there's evidence there to say that there's no dropping off in this Motherwell team. I think they're really confident. They've got a great squad. If they can keep all their players in this January transfer window, I genuinely think there's a chance of definitely challenging the old formula of that second and third spot.
They have the money from Lennon Miller. They don't need to sell anyone in this window. If they want to see if they can finish above Celtic and or Rangers, fair enough. They owe it to the manager. They owe it to the fans. But as I say, in summary, if the question is, will Motherwell win the league? No, they will not.
Maybe cursing Hearts coming out of nowhere and having such a brilliant season, because you'd be talking normally about them being not nailed on but looking really good for third, which would have been excellent.
And do you know the thing I like about Motherwell, just touching on it, I've heard today that some of the players they're actually stronger now in after the transfer window. They're stronger. They're a stronger team. They're bringing on forward after forward. They've got a good squad. They're playing very well. This manager knows what he's doing. Look, it's got to be a big ask. They've got to keep the clean sheets going, which is a big ask, of course it is. But when it comes to the split, then I am sure the other five teams, don't look forward to going to Fir Park.
Johnny, if Hearts win tomorrow, would be, what did I say, 13 points?
I think this is the third or fourth time I've been on here saying, but are you going to concede that Motherwell will not win the league? And I still think they will, because, and my reasons are, everybody else thinks that like other teams will win the league, and our team's going to win the league.
I can't argue with that logic. If Hearts win tomorrow, the 13 points, that's massive.
There comes a point where you owe it to your own intelligence.
Celtic might win tomorrow. Celtic are in quite a good place after Bologna the other night. We will see. Thank you to Johnny, who's feeling very optimistic, isn't he? 0141 951 1025. Since we're on the subject of today's football, Kilmarnock fans are going to take some beating for being the most annoyed fan base, but I don't know if the Hibs fans would rival them.
No, I think that's a serious result for David Gray. The cup defeat from Dunfermline was greeted with very loud abuse at East End Park from the travelling fans. This 4-1 to Falkirk. As I say, two things can be true at one time. It is magnificent for Falkirk and for Barney Stewart in particular, and John McGlynn's credentials just grow and grow and grow. However, that's an unacceptably bad defeat for Hibs, and I think the manager is in bother.
Yeah, when you're Hibs and you're expected to be up there with the squad and the amount of money you're spending, I think the Scottish Cup wasn't a great help to him, getting put out of that. And then he goes today, and look, we're talking about Hibs and under pressure. I think all the credit goes to Falkirk. Falkirk are like Motherwell. I think the two most entertaining teams
in the
league.
They're my second favourite team, for what it's worth.
I totally agree with you. Yeah. I totally agree with you. I think they're absolutely brilliant. Look, I sat here last week and thought, there's no way that Falkirk can go to Tynecastle and beat a Hearts team that sit in top of the league, the squad they've got, the way they're going about their business. And I know Cammy, and I think Hugh was the same, said that, yep, they fancied Falkirk. I watched the game, they were terrific. Have a look at, they've now done the double over Hearts and Hibs. So, like Fir Park, nobody likes going to Falkirk Stadium.
I did Barney Stewart a disservice earlier. He only signed for Falkirk 15 months ago. I think I said about 18. Let's narrow it down to give him even more credit. It was 15 months ago. It was October 2024. And prior to that, he'd been playing for Heriot Watt University Football. Just and now he's scoring top flight hat-tricks.
That is just an incredible story. We mentioned it during the show before, scoring a hat-trick top flight, and you've just narrowed it down that it's 15 months ago he's playing university football, which is just incredible. And the story that he's went along, he's obviously been on loan at Dunfermline, and then John McGlynn's brought him back. And as I said before, John McGlynn will take a lot of credit because he coaches his players, he improves the players, so... but yeah, just a brilliant story. Touching on Hibs, I think the next few weeks, 2-3 weeks, are massive for Hibs. They play Rangers next weekend at home, so that's a difficult game for David Gray. Then they're at home to Dundee United, and then they've got an Edinburgh derby away to Hearts. So listen, the next few weeks are massive for the future of David Gray, I would say.
Quick quiz: Falkirk's first top flight hat trick since...
Oh. All right, okay.
Simon Stainrod.
No.
I
don't even know. You got another answer?
Exactly.
Yeah. Kenny Duker.
No. Nearly 20 years ago, 2007, Alan Gow at Tannadice.
Oh, Gowser.
Strange, this is Scotland's coefficient tweeted this. It's a great fact because, weirdly, 2 days prior to that, how could they have played 2 days in quick succession? Anyway. Couple of days before it, Anthony Stokes did the same for Falkirk. So they had but that was 2007.
Wow.
So Barney Stewart's in there. Cameron is a Rangers fan, to move things on away from the game at Fir Park. Cameron, how are you feeling about things as a Rangers fan?
To be honest, I think I'm actually really happy at the moment, to be honest. At the start of the season, I was like, oh God, what have we got ourselves into? But since Danny Rowe came in, I think we're playing with a passion that was never there before, and a confidence as well.
Well, look, the 7 wins in a row speaks volumes for that. Look, clearly the measurements have changed. Nobody's pretending. We know Rangers teams of old wouldn't have had a big party for winning 7 games in a row.
Yeah.
But as Cameron says, this is mentioned in context. It's about the start of the season.
Yeah.
I saw someone tweeting earlier whinging about Rangers getting credit for winning 7 games in a row. Try to tell me you thought that was possible under Russell Martin.
I think it's a fascinating contrast to be made here. Rangers made a disastrous appointment in Russell Martin and got rid of him and brought in a guy who is Mr. Consistency. But Russell Martin's mistakes were all made early on. 1 win in 8 games at the start of the season. Celtic's problem has been that they brought in a disaster midway through the season, and he has cost them 12 points that Martin Neil's desperately trying to claw back. So Rangers, I always think that the hand of fate is in this one. They wanted Steven Gerrard, an 11th hour rejection. They wanted to go for the man whose name has gone from my mind, you're about to tell me.
Kevin Muscat.
Who 11th hour rejection. They therefore arrived at Danny Rule by accident almost. and it's the luckiest accident I've ever been involved in, because the job that he's doing is terrific. The signings that Rangers are making, they had two at £7.5 million and another one who cost them £9 million if the option to buy is taken up. So they're spending money, they're stable off the park, they're consistent on the park, and they have the look of a side who'll be in this until the very last day.
It has to continue, Cammy. I know I'm stating the obvious, but they're third tonight. Yep. Now that can change tomorrow, but they're third. And I actually remember these conversations when Russell Martin was in charge, and we would say, right, it's only September. Is Rangers season done? Can they actually salvage anything from this? And the answer was always yes, because there's time, but they'd need to win 10 in a row, 11 in a row, 12 in a row, at which that point people said this Rangers team's not capable of it. But now they need to show that they are. They're still going to need to do that.
Yeah, they need to continue what they're doing. There's no getting away from that. And again, Rangers are clawing back from the poor start to the season, and the new managers came in, and he's had to do that as well by just putting results first, and that's what he's done. Since he's came in the door, he's made sure that Rangers win games of football. Like he said he would do at the start, he came in and he said the most important thing is winning games of football. He's done that. He's built confidence within the group. He's created a good environment that the players are comfortable in, and that's got results on the pitch. There's a again, next week, you look at tomorrow, it'll be a difficult game. It's one I expect Rangers to go and win, and then they go away to Easter Road next week with a Hibs team that are desperate on a result. So that's a big game. All these challenges are faced with Danny Rowe front and going head for it, because he knows that. I genuinely think Rangers have got a real chance of winning the title this season. I really do.
Well, they certainly have. There's no doubt about that. I think that what the caller's right in saying that Rangers are in a very good place. Plus the fact, this transfer window, I think we all agreed, whoever come out is stronger probably would be favourites to go and win this title. Right now, I know I've not seen them play, but if these three guys can hit the ground running, then they've strengthened the right departments where they wanted to go and get players in. They've done their business, and they've done their business very well. They're winning games. This manager's got a...
Can this current Rangers squad win the league, or does it still need a striker?
My concern, I was speaking to Cammy about this, I think goal scorers win your leagues, right? I think that's very easy to say. You look at Chermiti, I think he's got four. A centre-half has got more than you. Fernandes got more than him. He's got five. You look up the top, Majovski's got eight, three against Annan, but still got to put the ball in the back of it. Your right back has got eight. So it's very easy to say they need another striker, but they need to balance the books. They need to balance the squad. They would need to get Danilo out, get a striker in. I think they would be in a great place.
Cameron, any concerns tomorrow? It doesn't sound like it. You expect Rangers to beat Dundee?
Listen, I think it will be a very tough game, because Dundee, don't get me wrong, Dundee are a very good side. But I do believe that we'll go out and win. But listen, like, when you go back to the point about the start of the season, or when I was watching the games, I was watching it through my fingers half the time. But now it's actually enjoyable football to watch. And I think that's what's appealing to most fans as well.
That's probably the bit that could improve though, Cammy. Look, it won't matter if they win the league. Nobody's going to say, oh, we didn't play well enough on the eye. But it's probably the bit that could improve, isn't it? That kind of cutting edge, attacking flair, scoring a couple more. I think that's the bit that there's clearly room for improvement.
Yeah, there is room for improvement. There always will be. But what I would say is they're starting to keep clean sheets. They're difficult to beat. And again, listen, I said it before, Being at Rangers, you've just got to win games. You've got to win games of football. That's what most important is. Yes, it'd be lovely to play great football and win 5-0. That's what the fans want to see. But ultimately, if the fans go away from the stadium, you've won the game, you've done your job. Because ultimately, we're looking to win a title. So, yeah, I think they just need to keep doing what they're doing. Tomorrow will be a difficult game. Dundee will be hard to beat. And again, they've got threats going forward. So, Rangers just need to nullify them and take their chances when they get them. Rangers,
I like Dundee's recovery though. I feel for Stephen Presley, what he had to put up with in the court of public opinion at the start, and the results weren't good. But that little run they've gone on, you know, the three wins in a row, the Hearts game was more about how good and resilient Hearts were, you know, the 10 men and Craig Gordon's wonder save and all that. You know, they then knocked Kilmarnock out of the cup the following week. I just wonder if Is there no chance for you that Stephen Presley makes life difficult for Rangers tomorrow?
He's done a marvellous job, Stephen, in winning over a support, and a marvellous job in creating a side who are, for the moment, the big thing for them is that they're 8 points above Kilmarnock. So that will do, because I'm quite sure that at one point this season the Dundee fans feared relegation. I think there'll be a special atmosphere at Ibrox tomorrow. I think the appearance of Andreas Gavolsen will be a big thing for the Rangers supporters.
Rangers have had to sort of appeal for that this week, though. Did you notice that? Almost kind of put out a plea for people to turn up.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there will be a special atmosphere, and I think he'll be a big part of it. And if you have won one of the last 14 league titles, I think for the moment, for this season, performance is an irrelevance. If you win the title and the performance can be looked at through critical eyes, fair enough, you can attend to that next season. But if you've won one of the last 14 titles, performance is an irrelevance. All the fans want is the title.
Okay, thank you to Cameron, 01419511025. Keep the thoughts coming on Ibrox tomorrow, but what about Tynecastle? It has got everything you need to make it one of the most fascinating fixtures of the season, so I'd love to get your thoughts on it, Celtic fans. Physically tired after Bologna, or emotionally boosted by a good result? Let us know what you think will shine through tomorrow. Would you start your new striker, or would you leave him on the bench? Do you think Celtic will win? Is this the Martin O'Neill effect? Hearts side of things, no Lauren Shankland, no Cammy Devlin, no Benny Beningame. Give us all your thoughts on Tynecastle right now, please, and we'll speak to you next.
After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard's open line.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, but still lots to get through. We're going to hear from some managers today as well, but it all finished a bit later than normal. And of course, massive games tomorrow. Celtic fans, Hearts fans, right now if you can, 01419511025. How do you see it going? Who's going to win? Injuries for Hearts, tiredness from Celtic, new signings. It has got a bit of everything, Hugh.
Oh yeah, all manner of things with regard to both teams. When 10 men are forced to do the work of 11 in a Europa League tie, so close to the biggest league game of the season, you'd rather not have that kind of disadvantage. When you have to decide whether to play Tomáš Vrančara or not, I think you come down on the side of the Czech and let him see if he can be an unknown quantity that unsettles Hearts, even though he's played no football since November. And for Hearts, it's the acid test. No Shanklin, no Devlin, no Beningame. Does that mean no Hearts? So it's the most fascinating game of the season.
It's hard to imagine Shanklin, Beningame, Devlin's absence not having any impact on Hearts. I mean, that would just be, it just makes common sense. How damaging do you think? Mark Leonard, we're talking about Vrančara, would Mark Leonard come straight in and make his debut?
Potentially. Again, obviously, a player that knows the club. Again, it's going to have a huge impact. There's no getting away from it. Cammy Devlin's been one of the player of the seasons for me. I think he's so influential in that Hearts side, the job that he does. He breaks up play, he's excellent on the ball. And then we all know what Lauren Shanklin brings and has done for a number of seasons now for Hearts. So there's no getting away from it. That is a massive, massive blow for Hearts. And it'll be very interesting to see how they do handle it. And this is the real test tomorrow, that they're without them big players. And they've also got a huge challenge, the team that's just behind them in the league, coming to Tynecastle to try and take 3 points. And can Hearts withstand that pressure? And again, I think if Hearts come away with a draw, I think Derek McInnes would be quietly happy.
It's got to affect you. Right, have a look at Celtic, for instance. They lost 3 big hitters. Look at the squad, look at the players they've got. Affected them for me. If Cameron Carter-Vickers was playing, Johnston was playing, and Jota was playing week in, week out, I think it'd be a different Celtic team.
And it should, in theory, be easier for the biggest, richest club to absorb that stuff rather than, because we talk about, let's be honest, I don't know what odds Hearts would have been at the start of the season to win the league, but you know they're going to need to carry a little bit of luck, whether that's keeping everybody fit or taking advantage of other things.
And plus the fact, you look at Hearts, and I know they've got some real good players, right? But everybody talks about the spine of the team. Two centre-backs have been excellent for Hearts. Two midfield players who are missing tomorrow have been brilliant for Hearts. Braga and Shanklin have been different class scoring goals up front. You're missing one of them. You're missing the captain. You're probably missing your most prolific goal scorer in the club. It is a big ask, but it's up to Hearts to respond to
it. Gary is in Blantyre. How are you, Gary?
Hi,
Gary,
Gordon.
Can you hear us all right?
Yeah, sorry.
Good man, you're fine.
Hi, sorry, Gordon.
Oh, Gary, we'll tell you what, let's, Gary, is your radio on?
I've just burned it down.
Yeah, good man. Nobody needs to hear me twice, believe me. What are you thinking about tomorrow then as a Celtic fan?
I think that, you mentioned there about tiredness and stuff for Celtic. Now, I think that they'd felt more tired had they lost that game the other night. I think the fact they got the result keeps the kind of the resurgence, shall we say, under Martin O'Neill kind of going, keep the kind of feel-good factor. So I think that the difference between losing the game and no losing the game does have an effect, I think, on the tiredness of the kind of physical exertions that they might have felt getting into the game tomorrow.
I would wholeheartedly agree with you. However, Gary, you'd rather not have had it.
Yeah, rather, of course we wouldn't. We'd rather not have the game on Thursday night. We'd rather have played on Tuesday or Wednesday in the Champions League, but yeah, that is what it is. So I think that the confidence levels, I think, by most Celtic fans compared to 2 or 3 weeks ago getting into this game potentially with Nancy, it's night and day. And I think obviously the Hearts players being out, being suspended, etc. Yeah, it's a lot closer than I think it would have been, but I think Celtic will go there and win.
I suppose you could make a case as well that this might be the best psychological place Celtic have been in for one of the games, yeah, against Hearts, because that obviously the defeat that did for Brendan Rodgers, that's when people were just wondering, everything, is it unravelling? Everybody knows what the next one was. It was Wilfried Nancy's first game, and yep, tactics boards and green trainers and all the rest of it, the stuff that just got way out of hand. But Martin O'Neill's in charge now, and I'm not saying that guarantees anything, but it must be the best Celtic have felt facing Hearts.
Yeah, listen,
this season.
Absolutely. But again, Gary said it himself. He's got confidence in his team now that they can go to Tynecastle and get a result. And again, you flip that a few months ago, then listen, not a lot of Celtic fans would have believed that if Wilfried Nancy was manager, they would get a result at Tynecastle. Not the way that they were playing, not the tactics that he was going into games with. So it's a different Celtic team that Hearts are going to be facing this time. Again, in an ideal scenario, they wouldn't have played such a long period on Thursday night with 10 men. But as Gary said, it is where it is at the moment. They got the result. So I think just that little bit of confidence they gain. Bologna are a very, very good team. They managed to get a result away from home. So I feel as if they're in a good place to go and face Hearts. And again, we touch on it, Hearts are missing key players. So listen, this is, I feel like Celtic need to go there and get the 3 points because it will completely swing their season.
Because Gordon, Martin O'Neill, believe it or not, as good as he is, has limits. He can't come in and make this squad instantly as good as it should be. Mm-hmm. He can't come in and fix everything. But what it looks like he's done in both spells, and again most recently, which is the most relevant bit, has brought a bit of belief back, a bit of confidence. You heard that interview Callum McGregor did. In amongst all the tactical stuff about Wilfried Nancy, he was quick to point out that once that happens, the confidence and belief goes, so then it's mm-hmm. hard to get it back. Presumably Martin O'Neill's at least taken care of that bit.
Yeah, well, that's his forte, isn't it? That's where he's made his name as a manager. He's never been one of those brilliant coaches that you talk about on the training ground. Martin O'Neill's the old-fashioned man manager, knows when to, you know, have a little bit of a go at you when you need it, knows when to pick you up when you need it. It must be brilliant to work for in the dressing room before you go on that pitch, probably making you feel $1 million, making you feel so confident about yourself. That's Martin O'Neill's strength. I know the guys are talking about, it's a difficult one, travelling, 10 men, playing for such a long time. But tomorrow, for me, I don't know if tiredness will come into Gordon, because I think, one, adrenaline, we've all played in these big games. As I say, Tynecastle will be rocking tomorrow. You know the importance of the game as well. You know that the manager will be having your back in that dressing room, letting you know before you go out. I think we're in for a terrific game. It's a very hard game to call.
Martin O'Neill is a cultural phenomenon for me. Even when Celtic are awful, and I give you some Mirren and Paisley, Falkirk, at Falkirk, even when they're awful, Martin O'Neill gets them across the line. he for me is without doubt the most important figure at Celtic Park, and I include the principal shareholder and every member of the board. He is the most important figure at Celtic Park.
Thank you very much to Gary. Let's start hearing from some managers. A very angry Neil McCann after losing at Fir Park.
I don't know what Big Jens says there, but I thought we were the better team in the first half. Thought the boys were excellent. Game plan was very clear. Thought we limited them to some counter attacks. They're always going to be dangerous because of how they play, but I thought we were by far the better side. The goal getting chopped off from Poley is a puzzler, because I've seen an angle. We've got an angle downstairs. I can't see how they can call that as offside. I think it's a guess. I think it's a complete guess. It's gone against us, but that's not what kills us in the game, Peter, to be honest. The red card kills us. Lost a red card last week, and lost a poor goal to the game. But the red card, to what we suffered at Livingston, Kabongu, where he gets three and still doesn't get a red card. Tom and two tackles. The first one, I'm told, is reckless. If that's reckless, the game's done. Completely done. The boys just turned round, and I think maybe just it's maybe catches him with a boot. I mean, what's he supposed to do? That's worth his first tackle as a yellow card. It's a shocking decision, in my opinion. Puts him onto a tightrope. And then his second one, yeah, maybe you've got an argument there of a yellow card, and he shouldn't do it. But the first one is just... that's what kills it for the boys, because then you're up against a team who have been flying.
See if I was... Because actually, forget refs or Willie Collum for a second. See if I was the guy that invented Hawkeye technology. I'd start phoning the managers. It's not a guess. That's not how it works.
No. All of that interview...
It's just not how it works. By the way, the second bit's fine. We've all got opinions on yellow cards. That's fine. Yeah. I said I felt like it's two tackles in the middle of the park. Maybe you don't need to send them off. The offside is not a guess. No. It is not how it works.
That's a man whistling in the dark.
You need to accept the offside for me. Again, it's a factual decision. So, I think that is, as Hugh said, it's a manager under pressure. Again, you're right with a yellow card. Listen, he mentioned the first one. He says the first one isn't a yellow card, in his opinion. The second one, he kind of said, look, it is. So for me, that's a little bit naivety from the player, because if you're on a yellow card that you maybe don't think is a yellow card, you don't go into them challenges. You don't make them decisions that potentially the referee's got to send you off.
See the bit about the angle, right? Said, I've seen an angle where it doesn't look offside.
Yeah.
But the risk of repeating myself so many times... That's why you need the Hawkeye technology. Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, you wouldn't have it. You would just have people looking at screens and you can't tell from every angle. That's the point.
He's just lost 3-0. Point number one, he comes in and says...
Three, he lost more than that.
Four. He's lost 4-0. And he's come in and said that one part of the game they were the better team. Don't say that.
He started strong, to be fair. There's nothing wrong with pointing that.
The Kelly fans pointed that out, to be fair.
You lost 4-0. And then, the accusation is about VAR. I feel for him. He took on a job that I think that was impossible anyway. And there's no way out. It'll either be automatic relegation or the playoffs. And that, I repeat, those were the words of a man whistling in the dark and trying to find some way, some positivity in a field of negativity.
Well, a manager who does not need to look far for positivity is John McGlynn. We keep talking. He's the man of the moment as well. But Barney Stewart, 15 months ago, he signed for Falkirk. He'd been playing with Harriet Watt before then. He's now scored a top flight hat trick. And this is what the manager, John McGlynn, had to say.
Wow. You know where he was 13 months ago, you know, we keep on going on about it. But it's true, you know, we took him for Harrow University and he scored a couple of goals for us in the championship. He gets that injury to his metatarsal, which means he's not played for a long time. It was ideal for me to go to Dunfermline, come back, and his personality is amazing, actually. You know, he's got to sit on the right place today to get goals, and that's what we've been missing. You know, we've been putting balls across the face of the goals. It's the way we play. We will always put balls across the face of the goals. Been getting somebody on the end of it, and he's got in between the posts, and his finishing has been really, really good. Yeah, couldn't be happier for him and for everyone involved. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. It's very difficult going and watching him play for Harrow Watt University and thinking, can he do? You know, because that's the question that you're asking yourself. But there's really much to lose on it. Can I mean, he'll be probably the lowest paid player in the Premiership right now. I could, there's no betting on that, but if there was, it'd be worthwhile putting a bet on that. I can almost guarantee. It's not getting out until I sign that new contract.
I don't want to, I'm not the embarrassed Barney Stewart and talk about his financial picture, but that's meant to provide some endearment there. That's, yeah, he probably is the lowest played player in the Premiership. It's incredible.
It's an almost ridiculous story. From Heriot Watt University to hat-trick in the Premiership. And John's quite right to highlight the fact that he wants him to sign a new contract. And, you know, as John is the perfect fit for Falkirk, Barney Stewart might be the perfect fit for Falkirk, who are not fighting relegation, they're fighting to get higher up in this league. So if I were you, Barney, I'd sign.
Is some credit to ever seen that lad, because I listened to John there and he's correct. You're standing there watching him playing with Heriot Watt and you're thinking, oh, he's a good player. Are you thinking he's got to play in the Premier League against Hibs?
How do you even assess that?
And score a hat trick.
Because we've seen this before. Even doing that from, say, Heriot Watt to maybe League One level, you would still be having those questions. Right, he's good, but look at the opposition and the stakes. Could he go up to League One and do it? Not could he go up to the Premiership.
Yeah, no, listen, it's just incredible. But what I would say, you look at Barney Stewart, he's athletic, he's a physical presence, he's obviously got a great footballing ability as well. And John McGlynn's probably backed his still and said, well, do you know what? And he kind of said that in an interview. What did he have to lose? Offering somebody an opportunity at full-time football, low wages, and he backed his still as a coach as well, that I can make this player better. Listen, probably not within his wildest dreams did he think he was going to score a hat-trick in the Premier League that 13 months later. But again, I think he's weighed it up. It's low risk, and it's absolutely worked for Falkirk and Barney Stewart. It's a fantastic
and
story.
And he's played today against what you would say top defenders, right? There's international defenders in there, and he's scored three goals.
Yeah. It's going to be weird for Grant Hanley when he keeps a clean sheet against Brazil to get us through in the World Cup, but he conceded the hat trick against Barney Stewart.
So that shows you, whoever made that judgment, honestly, it was a brilliant piece of business for him.
Right, come on, Hugh, we're nearly done. So, in fact, you can give us the final say. Hugh, too, your thoughts on tomorrow. Sum it up, both games for us.
Looking forward to it. I think it'll be very good indeed. I think Rangers will beat Dundee. I think it'll be difficult because I'm quite liking what I'm seeing with Dundee. And then you flip over to Hearts Celtic. Quite easy for me. I think that will be a draw.
I'm going to go, I think Rangers will win. It will be a difficult game, possibly a 2-0 win. And I think I'm going to go a Celtic win away at Tynecastle.
I think Ibrox will be a formality. Tynecastle will be a fascination. Can the O'Neill phenomenon go on? Can he keep on pulling results out of the hat to try to make up for the disastrous appointment which preceded him? I think that Hearts will overcome the loss of Shankland, Beningame and Devlin. I think Hearts will win.
But that is for tomorrow. Today was all about storylines. Everywhere you looked, high drama, 6 goals for Aberdeen, 2 for Livy, 8 in total. Manager sent off in Davy Martindale, 2 red cards for players, and that was just one of the games. Falkirk, a Barney Stewart hat-trick against Hibs to win 4-1. Motherwell, Tawanda Maswanisi inspired a 4-0 win against Kilmarnock. It has been absolutely sensational. The beauty of Clyde One Super Scoreboard, it doesn't go away for long. Whatever happens in that massive day tomorrow, everyone can reflect on it. 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, Andrew McLean and the guys will be back to take you through it all. You won't want to miss it. In the meantime, stay right there. Thanks for joining us today. Much appreciated as always. The GBX is up next.